Today, as fate would have it, an extremely, extremely hypothetical sugya. Very, very abstract. Of course, we'll deal with it. But I want you to be able to place the sugya in terms of where it is on our map of Maseches Kiddushin. Anyone see an eraser? No? Eraser? On a new cable here? Everyone get ready to write down a couple of tables, because we're going to put up tables just to set our coordinates, and I'm going to erase them, because we're going to need the board, but just so you should see where we are. Okay? Okay, let's start abstract and then more specific. Okay? The highest level of our understanding, at least for us, is what is Kiddushin, what's the halos, what's the Maisa. That's been, we talked about this the first week or two, that's been our goal, to try to map out these higher levels. We have a whole bunch of sugyas that we've been trying to help do that. One such sugya is Chatzi Isha. This was the sugya we spoke about 2 days ago, last week. Chatzi Isha. So that's one of the sugyas that helps us map the Chalos and the Maisa Kiddush. Okay? Now, today, we're going to take a look at, and we, Mirth Hashem, will look at the sugya of Chatzi Isha. I'll map it out for you what we described. Okay, so this circle is going to become this circle. Now, today, we're going to go down a level. Because whatever the problem of Chatzi Isha is, the Gemara wants to solve the problem of Chatzi Isha through Hispashtas. Vinisha through Kedushin Bahulim. So somehow, by understanding Hispashtas, we'll get a better understanding of Chatzi Isha, and in theory, a better understanding of how Kiddushin operates. You see the layering? It's just applying the kryptonite rule sequentially. How do I understand Kiddushin? Where does it fail? Kryptonite. How do I understand where it fails? Well, where does Chatzi Isha fail? Where does it work? A failure or a failure is a success. Every principle is best understood by its negation. How do I understand Kiddushin? Well, where does Kiddushin fail? Chatzi Isha. How do I understand Chatzi Isha? Well, where does Chatzi Isha fail? Where does it work? It's Hispashtas. Got it? Now, the problem is the Rishonim don't really discuss Hispashtas much. We'll talk about it, but they don't give it as much frontal attention as the Chatzi Isha Sugya. We saw Rishonim talking about Chatzi Isha, what it means, what the concern is. We have Amorayim talking about it, Reuben, of course, theoretically, Chatzi Shivcha, Chatzi Baschorin. So a lot of people talked about Chatzi Isha. Very few Rishonim try to define Hispashtas. The reason they don't define Hispashtas is because it fails. Ultimately, we don't accept Hispashtas by Kiddushin. In other words, why not? Why don't we solve Chatzi Isha by Hispashtas? But at least in theory, had it worked, it would have succeeded for Kiddushin. Okay? Tomorrow is going to be a little bit more concrete, because the Gemara is going to tell us why Hispashtas fails in Kiddushin. What's the phrase in the Gemara? Why does Hispashtas fail in Kiddushin? Das Acheres Shani. So here, Rishon, we're going to have a lot to talk about. So there's a failure of a failure of a failure. Chatzi Isha is a failure of Kiddushin. Hispashtas is the failure of Chatzi Isha. It should solve Chatzi Isha. This is why Hispashtas fails. So every time you go deeper layer, you're just trying to negate the concept. That, well, what is this concept not apply? It could be a negation of a negation, which means positive. And it's in Kiddushin, you learn the negation. And it's in this concept, the negation of this concept, namely, where does Chatzi Isha work? Well, why doesn't Chatzi Isha work? The negation of Hispashtas. Why doesn't Hispashtas work? Okay, so we find ourselves today in this area. We want to try to understand not why Hispashtas fails, so we're going to take out this X today, that'll be tomorrow, but why is Hispashtas even an option for Kiddushin? What does that tell us about Kiddushin? The fact that Gemara is saying, well, why don't you use this pashtus, minishat kiddushin mechula? Why don't you use that concept? Well, what do you mean? How would that work by Kiddushin? How would it solve Chatzi Isha, and what does this tell us about Kiddushin? That's the theme of today's shiur. Again, most of the time it's just the first 10 minutes of shiur, the most important part of shiur. Just knowing what you're doing, knowing what's happening, consciousness of sugya consciousness. What is happening in today's sermon? Dividing the sugya obviously into two. It's a little bit hard to make that division, but for your own sanity. There's a concept called dispashtus. We know it works by hektish. The Gemara wants to apply it to Kiddushin. How will that solve Chatzi Isha? What does that tell us about Kiddushin? Tomorrow we'll say, well, you know what? You can't use it because of this problem, that problem. We'll see what those problems are tomorrow. And what does that tell us about Kiddushin? Okay? That's where we are right now. Now let's remind ourselves of what we said by Chatzi Isha. Chatzi Isha, we really have two questions. Question number one, is it the Chatzi part? You can't marry half a woman. Either it's a problem in the Maisa or the Chalos, that you can't have a Chalos of half a marriage, or it's a problem in the Maisa. This was the Chaim's Big Chiddush quoted by the Bircha Shmuel. Or the problem of Chatzi Isha, not really about the partiality, but the exclusivity. It's lebeitrei, lo chazi. And that's why chatzi ish, also may not be a problem according to the writer, because you don't have the partiality. The partiality you may have, but the exclusivity factor isn't the factor. And we had on yesterday's table five nachminos as to what those issues are. So this circle called chadri, but not a circle here, but this circle called Chatzi Isha is what we discussed the last couple of days. Okay, that's the second table. The third table you need to know, or the third diagram you need to know, just to keep your head on straight, is that when it comes to Kiddushin, we have something called the Maisa Kiddushin, which may be Kesef / Hana, maybe also the Amira, maybe also a Nesina, but there's something called the Maisa Kiddushin. And then there's the Chalos Kiddushin. These are the three maps that we're going to have to keep in our mind today. Hey, where are we in the circuit? We're on level minus, let's say this is top level, level minus two. Tomorrow we're going to level minus three. Level minus two, a little bit vague. They didn't make enough paint to show where the parking spaces are. Everyone's parking on each other. They have a lot of cars parked on each other, double parking. We'll try to make sense of this layer. Tomorrow, level three, very clear. You park your car here, you don't park your car here. So that layer is going to be a lot clearer in our parking garage. It's going to help us understand level two, because everything is stacked. And this is what we discussed last week, and what we're really discussing on level one was Chatzi Isha. And these are the terms we're going to have to try to get to, these very general abstract terms. Okay? Everyone capish? I'm going to erase these soon, so just take a look at them and absorb them. Okay. So the Gemara we saw last week says you can't marry half a woman. And since you can't marry half a woman, for whatever reason, on that big circle, so what's the halacha if you marry half a woman? It's kachech lechatzi, ein mekudeshes. Since half isn't an option, we fall back to zero. I said, wait a second, I can accept that premise that half isn't an option. But what would I fall back to zero? Why don't I get bumped up to 100? What does the Gemara call the bumping up effect? The nifshatu kiddushin, or in my noun turning into a noun, turning the verb into a noun, hispashtas. Okay. The simple version of hispashtas. Okay. What's the precedent of hispashtas? The person says the leg should be an ola. Says the machlokas about the leg. Rabbi Yossi says the entire animal becomes kodesh. Rabbi Yehuda says only the leg. But if you say the heart, then everyone says the kiddusha starts in the heart, and then here's a good word. It's always important to use good words. Okay. I was actually interviewing a boy last night from a certain high school. He says, my Rebbe tells me that anything other than learning Gemara is futile, meaningless. Why should you read? Anything, it's all bittul Torah. I said, look, that's the way some people are built, and that's certainly fine. But he said, can you tell me, not in an aggressive way, he's really interested in finding a different voice. He said, can you tell me why reading is important? So I spoke with him a little bit about why reading is important. One of the reasons reading is important is because if you get precise words, you're able to sharpen halachic constructs and categories. It makes sense. I'll never forget the day I was in the YU Beis Medrash, I was struggling over the sugya of Kizayis Bechdei Achilas Pras. That's a measurement that's
qualified by two issues. One is quantity, two is time, right? How long will it take you to eat a pras? If you eat a pras, you eat a kezayis. It's not really, but the b'shishim is 1 versus 60. It's totally numeric. But here you have a number being defined by something else. And we're all like racking our brains, like how to define it. And then an older boy in the Beis Medrash, we heard, used a great word, density. How dense, what's the density ratio of the chametz to this tarovas? And you'll measure density by quality versus quantity versus time of ingestion. That person's name, the older boy in the Beis Medrash, was none other than Michael Rosenzweig. He was like an older person. I said, wow, that's really cool that you have a sharp term to define the achilas pras. So like I realized, and I started to realize that I have to make terms sharp so people understand it, because I never was able to grasp what kazayzvich the achilas pras was. Now I know it's a density measure. If it's a dense level of chametz, it's aser value. I mean, I'd say, Yitzchak, you have a different?
Sorry, I was like a question on this.
I think it was a general metaphor. It wasn't the exact physical application of density. But using that density helped us understand. You're right, it wasn't true to physics. Okay, so here's a good word, okay? Hispashtus, you would think is, can anyone give me a word you'd think hispashtus is? Okay.
Expansion.
Right, that's what I was thinking also, but I thought, those are two general infections. Those are diffusion. When something diffuses. So it starts in one part and it moves to other parts. There's a diffusion effect. Okay? Because the others can be seen in many, many general ways. This is literally a gas diffusing through a system. It starts in a particular area, then it makes its way. So that's how you, I, and the entire world would understand hispashtus. It starts in one place on the animal, then it diffuses. If anyone's got a better word, Boz?
Diffusion implies that it has a lesser...
That weakens. Okay. So give me a word that suggests that it doesn't weaken. Pervades. Okay. Okay. Anyway, so we all get the point. Okay. We'll choose to use the word diffusion. Okay. Some of you are learning psachim. Dafyomi Liyali Midaba Adam Lashon Naki. So I think the word infection now is officially called Lashon Seino Naki. So, okay. What is the problem with that? Why are we not stopping chair, giving Josh a Sufganiyah, because, you know, we feel bad for you, Kamala. Why are we going through this whole hypothetical today with Temura and Reb Velvel and Reb Elchanan and the Ritva and Tosfos? And what's wrong here? What's wrong? What's the Sefer HaMakna's question?
Well, then, still, you're doing a partial maisa.
Right.
It's just that, okay, fine, so later on,
say better, say it sharper. Diffusion hispashtus is suitable when you have a viable partial chalos that you want to then spread. But when the partial chalos itself isn't viable, diffusion won't work. What type of partial chalos is non-viable? What's the classic partial chalos that's non-viable? Chatzisha, then get started. Chatzihekdish, it's viable. The question is, how far will it diffuse? So hispashtus, in one way, shape, or another, will allow it to diffuse. But chatzisha is a non-viable chalos. It doesn't get started. There's no anchor. There's no inception, if you want to use an infiltration. There's no beachhead. There's no toehold. It doesn't grasp. The tentacles of the virus don't cling to your lungs. It doesn't start. If it doesn't start, it can't spread. It can't diffuse. This is the kasha of the Sefer HaMakna. Sefer HaMikna, I think it's officially called. Who wrote the Sefer HaMikna? Very, very interesting 18th century personality. Most well known for his Talmud. Maybe they'll say that about me one day. Oh my goodness, you taught Yonah. Oh wow, you're Rav Yonah's Rebbe. What did he learn? That's because you're looking at me. Hopefully all of you. Oh my goodness, you taught Yaakov. Oh my goodness, you taught... Maybe. Anyway, who is his Talmud?
Was it the Magid or Mesudit?
No, that was his Rebbe. Who is his Talmud?
Well, the Rosh Hirzon
of the Adi. No, it was his Rebbe. You're on the right route. But Chassam Sofer. He was one of the Chassam Sofer's Rebbeim. He and Rav Pinchas Horowitz is his name. Rav Nelson Adler was another German rabbi. These are the Chassam Sofer's big Rebbeim. So they were Gedolim on their own right, but, the Chassam Sofer's Rebbe. Anyway, he's otherwise known as, or Pinchas Horowitz wrote a very more famous Sefer, known as Sefer Hafla. When you're quoting the Hafla, you're quoting Pinchas Horowitz. His Sefer on Kiddushin is called Sefer, I think it's Mikne or Makne, I think it's Mikne. But okay, what makes him so interesting? So he's your classic German Rav. He ultimately becomes the Rav in Frankfurt on the Main, but he gets very, very, he and his brother very close with his brother. They go and they study with the Maggid, and they become very, very close to the Maggid of Meshritz, one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. They become very close to the Shneur Zalman of Leadi, which is ironic because they actually learned their Nigla with the Vilna Gaon. They actually made their way to Vilna, and they learned the base medrash of the Vilna Gaon. So all of a sudden, you've got this mixing and matching between the ardent opposition of Hasidus and Hasidus, and they were very instrumental in defending Hasidus to their opponents. Because they were they didn't operate as Hasidim. Their svarim, his sefer isn't full of Hasidus. His drushes don't contain Hasidus, though he taught Hasidus in private when he was in Frankfurt on the Main. But he becomes very instrumental because he's one of the traditional rabbinic establishment, but he's defending the Hasidim against all the opponents of the Hasidim. What's interesting about him is, and this is a little bit of a footnote of 18th century Germanic history, anyone has German roots, one of the reasons he becomes the Rav of Frankfurt am Main, Frankfurt on the Main, which is one of the largest, and not the largest German city in the 18th century, like that's a plum position, is not because of anything he did, because of something he didn't do. There are two famous controversies that ripped apart German Jewry in the 18th century. One was the well-known controversy between Yaakov Enderius and Eibeschitz, who was accused of being a Sabbatianist or a Frankist. The other is less well-known, but somehow a little more interesting.
The Get of
Kalis? The Get of Kalis, right. So you know the story? Very, very... Josh?
It was the fellow...
You can tell me every detail. Go ahead.
The fellow, unfortunately, he was very strange. He was a special needs fellow, unfortunately.
Which he was.
It's a bad thing, but... and what happened...
The politically correct version of the Get of Kalis.
He had like a breakdown where he said that he wanted to divorce his wife.
Very good. Very good. It was a multiple city breakdown. Basically, a woman from Bonn got married to a man from Mannheim. They got married, and he acted strange, and they weren't sure, but then they got married, and then the night of right after the marriage, he disappears on Shabbos. He walks out of the Tchum Shabbos with all the money of the dowry, and they find him in a city, and he was having hallucinations that he comes back and try to retain the marriage, and then they move to Bonn because it'll be easier to be near her parents, and he goes crazy in Bonn, and essentially this marriage isn't going anywhere, so they decide they're going to give a gift. So they go to Düsseldorf. But in Düsseldorf, he has friends there, so he doesn't want to give a get in Düsseldorf because he's embarrassed. So they go to the city on the border between Germany and Switzerland and Holland because he's on the way to England to make some money. So that city is Kalis. So everything's moving east, but as you're moving east, you're basically hitting every German town, and every German rabbi has something to say about it. And finally, they get to Kalis, and they give the get with the Rav Tevela Horowitz, some rub there, and he gives the get good, and it's fine. And then all of a sudden, the father, if I'm not mistaken, the father of the Kala wanted to cancel the get, which is counterintuitive. Normally, the father of the Kala wants to okay the get, but he wants his money back. Because the guy's kind of, so he wants to cancel the get. It's just a whole tumult. And essentially, it make his way back to Frankfurt, where all the big Rabbanim are. And all the big ones say, this guy has special needs. This guy, you know, is not mentally there, and his get isn't good. All of a sudden, all of German Jewry erupts into this major, major scandal. Was it a good get? Wasn't it a good get? And basically, it escalates. It moves from Cleveland to Chicago, where it's not about the get anymore. It's about the covet of the various Rabbanim who were involved. Like, should we impose this authority of the Frankfurt Rabbanim on the authority of the Kalis Rabbanim? Or what about the Mannheim Rabbanim? But it passed through Düsseldorf. You've got the five or six major German towns, and it's just this whirlpool of politics and authority and who has jurisprudence. And I mean, it sounds like people were fighting in the streets. They were ripping up each other's svarim, burning each other's svarim. And anyone who was anyone in the entire central Western European theater had a position about the get of Kalis. Except for one person who decided to sit it out. Who decided to sit this one out? Rav Pinchas Harowitz. I'm not getting involved. And then when they had to find a rabbi to take over Frankfurt on the Main, and no one's rabbi was acceptable to all, they said, you know, let's let him be the rabbi. He's a nice guy. He didn't get involved in any of this bickering. So he became the rabbi of Frankfurt on the Main, in addition to being one of the biggest Rebbeim of his generation. Because when I say everyone, the Nesivos, everyone, anyone who was anyone had a voice about the get of Kalis, except for Pinchas Horowitz, who said, you know what, more important things in life. So very, very interesting. Okay, so the Sefer HaMikna by Pinchas Horowitz, the Rebbe Chassam Sofer, the Sefer HaMikna asks our question. How could Hispashtus, diffusion, be a solution for a partial ishus, which is inviolable. So we are now at the famous crossroads near Frankfurt. We have two choices. Either it's a chiddush in how we understand, or it's a chiddush in how we understand. Chatzi isha. Right, his kasha is, how could his pashtus solve chatzi isha? After all, chatzi isha is a non-viable half kinyan. You can't diffuse something that doesn't exist. If something exists, it can diffuse. If it never existed, you can't diffuse it. As far as I know, maybe Yitzchak can correct me with the laws of physics, but as far as I know, it has to first exist to diffuse. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but it has to, at least in simple logic, it has to first exist. Chatzi isha doesn't exist. How could it diffuse? So most of today's shir and most of the achronim buy into the Sefer HaMikneis question and say we have to reorient our understanding of hispashtus. Reb Velvel and Reb Chaim and most overwhelming Rishonim. I think there's a simpler solution to the Mikneis question. Look at your big circle on the board. Can we find a version of Chatzi Isha which does exist, but it's just not enough? And if I can diffuse it, then I can create full coverage. Which model of Chatzi Isha may I be describing? The problem of Chatzi Isha is not that it's meaningless, it's zero, it's silly, it's stupid, it doesn't exist, it can't exist, you can't diffuse it. It's just not enough. But if I have a diffusive mechanism, I have a diffusion tool, Yitzchak is something creates diffusion spectrometer, whatever, maybe it can work. What type of Chatzi Isha am I describing here, Josh?
The exclusive model.
Exclusivity. When I think about Chatzi Isha, if it's partiality, then it doesn't exist. Maybe even the mice is ruined. But if I think about Chatzi Isha, not as partiality, but I think of Chatzi Isha as exclusivity, I mean, nothing existed. Or to say it differently, I alluded to this the other day. Now I'm going to become a little bit more subtle right now, a little bit more nuanced. Is Chatzi Isha a problem in the Chalos? You need to get to the finish line in which you create a hermetic seal, 100%, and no one can get in. No other Kiddushim can get in. Other people who want to try can't get in. All these German people who want to marry this woman can't get in. You've created a seal, you've created a fortress of solitude. Or is the exclusivity a problem in the Maisa, that your Maisa has to create the entire seal? It's not a question in the finish line, your Maisa. If it's a problem in the Maisa, then of course, Josh, we haven't solved the issue, because your Maisa didn't create a full exclusivity, didn't create anything, nothing happened, there's no diffusion. But if, as is to me logical, the problem with Chatzi Isha, is not your Maisa. The problem is you have to get to the finish line. You have to create a finish line effect. So why can't we use diffusion to get us to the finish line? Let's tell us a little bit about the Gemara I put on your Makaris yesterday. We're not going to have a chance to take a look at it. The relationship between the Gemara of Chatzi Isha and the Gemara of Kiddushin Me'atov Simba. Maybe we'll circle back to it tomorrow if we have a little bit of time. But this is theoretically an answer to the Sefer HaMikneis question. And the fact that most Acharonim didn't answer this makes me wonder, did most Acharonim assume as a premise that Chatzi Isha is a problem of quantification and partiality, and therefore Hispashtus would not be a solution unless I radically change Hispashtus from diffusion to something else, which we'll see today. So this is the crossroads. Before we enter, remember I told you, anytime you learn a sugya, this is why learning Acharonim, before you try to process a sugya, not dangerous, but it's a little bit lopsided because you get so taken by Achronim who knew Torah 5 million times better than you that you just follow sheepishly in a certain direction and say, wait a second, maybe I don't have to say anything. Maybe I don't say like Reb Chaim. Maybe I could build a model of Chatzi Isha that would enable diffusion as a solution. Because if it's a problem of creating exclusivity, why can't it be done in two stages? For example, who may have thought that way, that exclusivity can be done in two stages as long as you get to the finish line? Not just Moshe Tarigan trying to answer the Mikneis question, but which very well-known Amara could have thought that way. Rabbi Yochanan, maybe, depending on when you understand Rabbi Yochanan, but who?
Rava.
Because what did Rava say? Chetzeich bepruta zeh, v'chetzeich bepruta zeh. Isn't him saying that you can cluster, do half, Okay, so instead of using diffusion elan to cover the other half, because diffusion may be off the board because of tomorrow's share, I'll use a different way to get from 50 to 100. I'll just lop on another 50. Oh, it's 0 plus 0, and even Moshe Targan, who's an ignoramus in physics, knows that 0 plus 0 is 0. So what was Rava saying? Rava was saying there's no problem with chatzishah, so you just have to end up with 100%. You have to get to the finish line. So Rava was saying, you know what, if you get to the finish line through 2 50%, each 50% is viable, you just have to get to the 100%. So why can't I use diffusion to bump me to the other 100? Instead of me directly clustering 50 on top of 50, why can't I allow diffusion? Why can't I allow it to happen? The Gemara says, diffusion isn't available here. So it's not such a big chiddush. Again, the Rambam understood Rava differently. It's all one maisa. But it's not such a big chiddush to let diffusion take a 50% and expand it. The assumption that 50% is non-viable is not so obvious. If partiality is a problem, it's pretty obvious. But if it's exclusivity, does it have to be latent within your action? Or can it be just a finish line effect that I'm covering the woman and I'm creating this Teflon? I have to make my woman Teflon. I can't let anyone else's Kiddushin stick to her, but it doesn't have to be within the Maisa. It could be just the conclusion of my Kiddushin. I have to create a Teflon effect. So why can't the Teflon happen through diffusion? So I'm not so sure that Mikna's question is going to change. There's a way out, but most Achronim didn't take that way out. Most Achronim felt, let me just continue the statement, most Achronim felt that Chatzi Ishus is, look at me, big zero. And if Hispashtus is a candidate to solve Chatzi Ishus, we have to take a better look at Hispashtus. What's Hispashtus doing? It's not diffusive, it's something else. We're going to come up with terms for that. Maria and Avi?
Even there's a problem of exclusivity, like, how are you going to understand the mechanism that's working? Because we know that the condition still doesn't work, so that's either going to have to be at the point of...
Okay, so however it works by Hekdesh, it works here. Just like Hekdesh can create 50 and diffuse it to 100, condition can create 50 and if you, once they get to 100, no one can marry her.
But we know that Hekdesh can create the 50 to begin with, and condition can't.
Well, it, but there's no reason it can't as long as it's heading towards 100. Condition that doesn't end up with 100 is meaningless. But Kedushin that's on its way to 100 and diffusion takes it, I can make a chilek between them, but it's not as if the whole sugya. He's suggesting there's incompatibility. It's totally incompatible to use the spashas when nothing sticks. I'm saying maybe it sticks and then it moves. You're saying, you know what? No, I can make a chilek. Of course you can make a chilek. Maybe that's a Gemara's chilek. But the Mikna's whole premise is, why are you even saying a spashas? I'm not sure that I'm so willing to buy into that premise. Okay? Avi?
Is it actually the entirety of the exclusivity thing? Just that there could be a hafikamar, like in the case of this guy of chati ish, that there could be a hafikamar, but by chati isha, you just say it's still halos. It's like you're trying to create a halos that doesn't exist.
Sharpen the question. Like, don't say use the word hafikamar. That was just clouding it. What's your question?
The entire problem of exclusivity is just that there is you have still halos. Just the reason why that doesn't exist by chati isha.
No. We use chati. Forget chati ish. That was a proof. You're misappropriating the proof. Could Chatzi Isha be a problem? Not that you can't be married to a 50% woman. You can be married to a 50% woman as long as no one else can marry her. For example, what's the type of woman that I'm married to 50% that no one else can marry her, even without his pashtus? Chatzi Shechar. As long as no one else can step in, I can be married to half a woman. Now, with regular women, I got to create a full, electromagnetic field around her. So let his postures create the full electromagnetic field.
Fundamentally, by an isha, it would still be a psalchalos.
No? What?
Fundamentally, by an isha, it would still be a
psalchalos. If you don't get there, but his postures is going to get me there. So it's only a psalchalos if I don't have a mechanism to get me there. But his postures will get me there. Just like Rava said, I could get me there. Okay, let's move on. We're getting too bogged down in this. I want you to see the meat of this very, very theoretical circle. Memela, most Rishonim feel that his postures is not diffusion. But his postures is... at the point of, in the case of Hekdesh, which is our paradigm, Uriel for Hispashtus, somehow a statement about part of the animal creates, listen to the following word, immediate totality. Diffusion suggests staged diffusion. Hispashtus is not staged or sequential or gradual, which is diffusion, it moves from one place to another. It is immediate comprehensiveness. Not stage diffusion. Achronim have different words for this. Hispashtus Akedusha, Eskagulus. Again, with English language, it becomes a lot sharper. You just have more words at your disposal, so you're able to sharpen things. So I'm using a lot of English today. There's no consensus terms in the Echron. You can see they're fishing for words when they're looking to explain. You think they have words?
What does the word
Hispashtus
mean then?
It's a Gemara's word. Well, we'll see what it means in a moment. It's general to allow multiple meanings. Now, we'll see two different versions of this mediate. But the key is, and I'm going to have to just erase the table just so you should be able to visualize it. The key is, what will I erase? I'll erase this. Hispashtus is not what we're calling diffusion, harchavas kedusha, but is immediate totality. Now I'm going to divide that into two. In the immediate sense, when you say, let's say, Shitas Rabbi Yossi, Ragu Zu Ola, it's not that the regal becomes hektish, and by extension that hektish diffuses and permeates the whole animal. Somehow, when I say part, the whole animal is kodesh. And therefore, I can leapfrog the Chatzi Isha problems. But really listen carefully. It's a really fundamental logic of the Sugya. The problem with Chatzi Isha is you can't go through 50%. You got to go right from 0 to 100. There's no 50% rest area. You can't say, I'm resting here for a cup of coffee. Go from 0 to 100. There's no such thing as 50. 50 is 0. 50 is non-viable. 50 doesn't exist. Hispashtus is a mechanism to get me directly from 0 to 100 at the time of the Maisa Kiddushin, or the time of the Maisa Hakdash. Somehow I speak about a leg or a heart, and the whole animal becomes Hakdash. Now I speak about half a woman, and of course half a woman, everything is Eva Shana Shama Tuliyaba, and the whole woman becomes Kudeshus right away. That's the logic. We're going to have to split this logic, but that's the structure. And therefore Hispashtus would be a suitable solution, and we'll see tomorrow why it fails, and it maybe even works under certain conditions. Because the spashtus doesn't take me on a journey to 50, which then diffuses to 100. It goes right from 0 to 100. What's another raya in this sugya? That a spashtus is not going from 50 to 100, but a spashtus is somehow creating a mechanism which we'll try to sharpen of immediate totality. Not just the fact that it can service Ishus, which can't go through 50. But where do you have a case where if you lose Hispashtus in the immediate sense, you can't recover it later? Oh, let it go through 50 and then later let it expand. What's the other Raya in the Sugya that Hispashtus is the left, not the right? If Hispashtus were diffusion, A, it wouldn't solve Kiddushin. B, where else do you see in the Sugya that Hispashtus is not, well, let me get to this and let me go further? What other halach in the Gemara proves that Hispashtus is a drama that happens at the time of the Maisa Hekdesh? The Maisa Hekdesh talked about part, but somehow that part can become whole. But if at the Maisa Hekdesh you couldn't pull off that magic, then you can say, oh, I got to 50, let me just diffuse it to 100. What proves it? Yonah? Behemah Shel Shutafim, very good. Behemah Shel Shutafim, you can't use Hispashtus in the beginning, because the other person owns it. When I own half, I'm Makdish, my half, Avram, I can't say, oh, the whole animal goes Kodesh, because your half isn't Kodesh. But when I buy part two from you, now I've removed your block. Why don't we say, oh, now it's stage two. I buy out the other 50% from the other shutuf. Let diffusion, I've removed the diffusion blocker. Now let Hispashtus happen because Avram's out of the picture. Why does it get stuck at 50 if diffusion is a mechanism for going to 50 to 100? There are answers to that question. But this, in addition to the Mikna's question, suggests that Hispashtus is the left of the table, not the right of the table. If Hispashtus were diffusion, it wouldn't solve Kiddushin. If Hispashtus were diffusion, why not create this stage A, stage B, T1, T2. T1, Avram owns it, I'm only makdish half of the animal. T3, I buy off Avram, let the hektish that I've installed in half of the animal diffuse to the whole animal, now that Avram's removed. What I just said is more important than anything I'm about to, not more important, but more important for you than anything I'm about to say. This part of Shir so far is a more important part of the shir, to understand the structure, why things happen, why Rishonim say what they say, why I'm going to say what they say, what are the inherent problems, what are the pressure points of the sugya. It's easy to come in and give you a nice vart on the sugya. To help you do it yourself, you got to get into the sugya and start to feel the sugya and massage the sugya and see its pressure points. And because of all this, questions that are answerable, I can answer the Mikna's question, I can answer the Behemah Shel Shutfin question. Because of these two questions, most achronim, because Rishonim don't really address it directly, move hispashtos to the left, not to the right. We think hispashtos is get to 100 through 50 in stages. Answer is no. That wouldn't be compatible with ishus, and it doesn't seem to be available even in hekdesh. So evidently, hispashtos is somehow getting from 0 to 100, even though you're talking about 50. Now, can anyone tell me what are the two options here? How do I get from 0 to 100, even though I'm speaking about 50? This is the hispashtos riddle. I'm speaking about the heart, and somehow the whole animal becomes kaddish. Not through stages, not through diffusion, not through unfolding. No, when I say heart, the whole animal becomes kaddish. When I say half of a woman, the whole woman becomes mikudeshes. What are the two options? Just structurally, what could be happening? What's the easier way? Not necessarily the most moderate way, but the easiest thing to say. What would you say, Ilan?
Okay.
Say it even a little bit more abstract, that your words are 50, but they really are
100.
Which, in now let's use classic Lamdisha language, that hispashtos is a din in the Maisa, Amira. Now, there are different ways to say that, Ilan, you said one way, but that was just a derivative. That was just an example of one. So Ilan's saying, and this is the Berachah Shmuel, this is Reb Chaim. Let me get the proper chalk. That hispashtos is a din in the Maisa. The Maisa is al kol habehema. Now the question is why? How do we pull off this trick? I said 50, and somehow it's like I spoke about the whole animal. So what is your solution, Ilan? Even though I said 50,
you meant
100. That's the easiest way. Who says this? Who says what Ilan just said? I said 50, but really now I meant 100. Not so sure. Tassus Riazakin. Look at the bottom of the Zion. Horel v'hikdish, Aver Shana Shamatzuli Bar. Remember, he's talking about, today I'm not going to have the time, not we have time, but I'm not going to make you so crazy with the Pihid Rabbi Yossi, but a lot of these options could be the Machlokas of Pihid Rabbi Yossi, whether it works all the time or only Aver Shana Shamatzuli Bar. But since you use Aver Shana Shamatzuli Bar, Ilan, what's the key words? Kula Rotsa Lekadesh. We all know. You said 50, but you really meant 100. Because when you talk about the gut, the core, the heart, the head, you meant to say the whole woman. And obviously, a woman is, every part of her is vital. So we trust, we redefine the statement by your kavana, even though it's partial. What does this sound like? Where have we seen a cousin of this concept? You said X, but you thought Y, you make it as if you said Y. Why do we call that? It's a little bit of a cousin. It's not spirit of Thanksgiving. Cousins are still making their way back from Thanksgiving dinner, so make you guys feel Thanksgiving a little. What's a cousin of this? You said 50, but you really meant, it's like you said 100. Right?
Yad.
Yad. Yadai. Use an abbreviated line. Here it's not really abbreviated. It's not grammatical. It's more mathematical. Same concept. What if I use grammatically truncated language? Can I make it into the whole language? I'm using mathematically quantified truncation, and so I can do the whole thing. What's the other shot? What's the other approach? It's not what you're thinking. Oh, well, we know what you're thinking, and it's like you translate, but... What do you think, Avi?
We don't quantify
halos.
Whenever you apply
a halos to... Well, I didn't say the word halos. I'm in the Maisa right now. You're moving to halos. Okay? What's the other way to say the Maisa? We'll get to what you're saying later. Now, when I say 50...
It's not about your dice. That 50% is 100%. Like, part of the animal
right.
Is the animal.
That a declaration about 50, not... We'll get to you, Avi. Is not halos... But a statement about 50, a Maisa Amira about 50, is a Maisa Amira about 100. Let me explain, and then we'll see which Rishon says this. Which Rishonim say this. Which Achronim say this. Why is this drama of Hispashtos unique to Hekdesh? Ask yourself that question. Why doesn't Hispashtus exist in other forms of halachic activities that are performed on part of something? Let's say Rachamim, I do a meshicha, and I only hold the neck of your cow. And I pull your cow by the neck. Do I only cone the neck? Okay, well maybe the kinyan on the neck is mispashe to the entire cow. Why does the Gemara talk about hispashtus? Why is, always ask yourself this question. Why is the context for a concept or a logical concept so limited? Evidently, we have to think about the logical concept a little bit. What is the concept doing in this context? What makes hekdesh different from kinyanim? What's the obvious? Why is this question never come up by kinyanim? By ma'aseh kinyanim?
Kinyanim are totally in...
So it's hekdesh. What? Why is this such a drama? Why is Reuben's question, and to a degree Ilan's question, before we get to your question, Abi, why is this so riveting here?
You can't buy back.
What?
You can't buy back.
No, that's the consequences are greater. But think of something more structural.
The two sides to looking in, right?
Two sides. Okay. This is 74, but why should that? The Gemara will maybe say this tomorrow.
But you don't ask both sides, so when you
can be Mahmehav of something, so, I mean...
So what's different here, Josh?
Well, the hekdesh fundamentally changes the status of the object, whereas the kinyan of the object is the
same. You're still going to the consequence. I'm talking about the action. Normal actions are...
Physical.
And physical actions are blunt swords, and by pulling an animal's neck, I'm pulling the whole animal, not pulling a neck. Human beings have the capacity to not just to do physical actions, but also their actions can sometimes be verbal. Verbal actions have the power of abstraction. I can say I'm declaring about this part, not the other part. What's the classic case in Shas where you don't need a physical action, all you need is a verbal action? Which area of Shas doesn't need a physical action and a verbal action? Hekdesh. That's why it comes up in Hekdesh. It doesn't come up in Kinyanim. When I pull the neck of Rachamim's cow, I'm pulling the whole cow. When I pull the boat, because physical actions by definition are performed on one part of it, but they are by definition relating to the entire item. Verbal actions can be mentally qualified. I'm discussing, because it's a discussion. I'm declaring. I'm talking about the leg. I'm not talking. If I pull the animal by the leg, I pull the whole animal. I can't amputate the leg. I mean, I can, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm pulling a leg. That's my access point to the animal. But when I'm discussing the animal conceptually, I can say I'm declaring about a certain part of the animal. And what Reuben is saying is that, no, that verbal declarations are similar to physical actions, and especially if it's an Eber, Shen, Shem, Atalibor. If you're talking about a core part of the animal, you're talking about an organism called the animal. Not because what you're thinking about, Ilan, even if you don't know what you're doing. Halachically. Okay, has everyone seen now? We're going to divide this into two A and two B. We move to spashtus away from diffusion because of two reasons. One is kiddushin, one is behema shel shufi. We're moving into something which is immediate, 0 to 100. What is immediate? Okay, now I'll make this a little bit easier for you. Is immediate then the maisa al hakol, either like Ilan says, because kach kabanasa, or like we're saying now, a maisa amira on chelek is a maisa amira al hakol. Not because of what he's thinking, definitionally, as Reuben said. Let's see which Rishonim and possible Achronim say this now. And then we'll think about what Avi Bolson wanted to say and others wanted to say. Which Rishon says this, which Achron says this the clearest? That is pashtus. Now I'll give you the classic language. Is not a din in diffusion. It's a din in the maisa. The maisa is considered a maisa. I'll call a behema. The maisa amira is considered a maisa amira. I'll call a isha. Who says this? This is a berachah shmul. Okay. Now you know what the berachah shmul says. Okay. Just You have to get past the terminology and talk real sharp ideas. But don't forget what the terminology is. Let's go back to the Birchas Shmuel here. I have it here. Please take out your Birchas Shmuels somewhere here. Okay. Hahacha havidin b'maisa kiddushin, deleka maisa kiddushin. Remember, this is the Birchas Shmuel's carryover from Chatzi Isha. Chatzi Isha avi bolzem wasn't the problem in half a chalos not being good and somehow your fancy schmancy hispashtus solutions won't even work for Reb Chaim. Because according to Reb Chaim, what was Chatzi Isha? A problem in the maisa, a problem in the chalos?
Maisa.
So if according to Reb Chaim, Chatzi Isha means you're not even doing a maisa kiddushin, then it's the makna, the mikna on steroids. It's like the mikna's question all of a sudden has become a Mount Everest. Chatzi Isha, you didn't even do a maisa kiddushin. How are you going to duct tape that with his pashtas? When you say, I want to marry half of you, you've done nothing. Your statement is ridiculous. Your maisa kiddushin is not a kiikach. How are you going to solve that by his pashtas, the Birch HaShmuel wants to know? That was the question you asked earlier and we asked earlier. So the Birch HaShmuel, Reb Chaim, obviously, is forced into a corner. No, his pashtas is not just somehow creating a 0 to 100 chalos, as Avi Bolson is going to say. You spoke about half, but somehow that chalos is automatically 100%. It's like you spoke about the entire woman. When you say I'm marrying half a woman, that amira is an amira about the whole woman. How could his pashtas work? He's asking the mikna's question, but even more powerfully. How could his pashtas solve a problem in the maisa? The next piece, the bir akushya shela gemarahu, the ayidei de pashta kedusha bekulo, harayeshkan maisa kedushin shel kula, ayidei din his pashtas. Okay, see my circle, maisa kedushin shel kula. He didn't tell us how, we defined how. They've taken the Birch HaShmuel and defined it for you. Ilan's definition, or a more legal definition. Speaking about a core part of a woman is speaking about the entire woman. You are Mekadesh, the entire woman, even though you said half. Which Rishon speaks in Pseudo Birch HaShmuel language? Who starts to be clear, not as clear as the Birch HaShmuel and Reb Chaim, but clearer than we'd expect most Rishonim to say? Which Rishon? Do you see any Lashon in Rishonim that sounds like Reb Chaim? Let's see the Ritva. Let's open up the Ritva. Do I have my Ritva here? Let's open up the Ritva. We'll get back to this Ritva. Ritva Dibra Maschil Midami. Can anyone find the words that sound like Reb Chaim? Even though you only talked about an Aver. Harei hu ki'ilu hekdisha kula. See that Ritva moving away from diffusion more towards immediate totality and thin the Maisa. Harei hu ki'ilu hekdisha kula. Again, the word ki'ilu could be weak enough to support many meanings. But if you read the Ritva literally, it's like your Maisa hekdish was performed in the entire animal. Harei hu ki'ilu hekdisha kula. So we have Reb Chaim, the Ritva, again, Ilan, your pshat, my pshat. The differences right now are not significant enough. Tosas Riazakin. His pasha, someone say, the Lamdisha language, so you're walking down the street, you have a second to impress your friend from, I don't know, from Panavish. His pasha is a din in the one word, Maisa. Now, what that means, we spent 20 minutes explaining. But the phraseology, the code word is din in the mind. You want to get into the brisker tish? Okay, espashus is a din in it. Maisa, okay, come on in. What do you mean? Oh, I don't really know, but okay, come on in. Now we'll talk about what it means. You guys just got to know the lingo. It's not a din in iskalgulus hakedusha, espashus hakedusha, mechetzi abhema, lakol abhema. It's a din baharchavas, maisa hektish al kol abhema. Harei kilu hektisha iskol abhema. It's a din b'maisa kedushin. Which we shall before the Ritva. Giving away my hand. Before Reb Chaim. Sound like he was talking in this way, that his pashas is not a din in the diffusion, say the word diffusion, of the status of Kiddusha, it's a din in the Maisa. Which Rishon says this? Maybe. Which Rishon before Tosfos? No, really, I'm giving you hints. Rashi. Which Rashi am I talking about? Okay, let's see Rashi. Okay. I got to still earn my salary. I can't just tell you things to get on your own. I got to still earn my living. Which Rashi? When Rashi quotes the Gemara that distinguishes between his pashtus by hektish that works and his pashtus by kiddushin that doesn't work, what does he say? Hasam Behema is describing the case where Spashtus works. Now that I've showed you Rashi, can you find the phrase in Rashi that makes it sound like it's a din in the Maisa? Very good. Four words. Yesh koach b'ma'amaro lifshot. Wow. He'd breeze through Rashi if he didn't know the first 40 minutes of the sugya. Wow, now you see the first 40 minutes of the sugya, Rashi's words are iconic. Yesh koach b'mamaro lifshot. The spashus is in the Maisa, the Maimar, not in the 50 to 100 diffusion. And by kiddushin, for reasons we'll see tomorrow, it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Blah, 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 blah. What's the conclusion of Rashi? His spashus doesn't work by kiddushin. Can anyone read the end of Rashi? Lefikach, where it doesn't work, ein dibur o tafis, but you don't have this enlarged Maisa. That will be our first version of the immediate total. You have an enlarged Maisa. Why is it an enlarged Maisa? Ilan, psychologically. Why is it an enlarged Maisa? Halacha. Okay. Well, that's like really, really subtle distinctions. But his pashtus is a din of the Maisa. You spoke about 50, you really spoke about 100. It's like you went and said, I'm marrying the whole woman. I'm marrying being Akhtishla. Okay, Reuben, that only works if Avram isn't blocking me. If Avram blocks me at the point of Amira, I can't have an enlarged Maisa because Avram's a blocker, as we'll see tomorrow. And I can't say 5 days later, I bought off Avram, now let it expand. There's no such thing as expansion. It doesn't exist. His pashas is expanding a Maisa at the point of articulation. If it doesn't happen then, it ain't never going to happen. Avi Bolson, what do you want to say? Avi Bolson has been itching to say something a little bit different. It's not a din in the Maisa. But what's it a din in? Chalos. Say it sharper. This is probably the hardest svara today. Even though, still, one of the us. Even though.
You're creating a half.
No. Even though. I spoke about half.
I created a full
chalos. That's the seesaw. That right there is what you have to solve. When I speak about half, half a chalos is a full chalos. Not that it jumps from 50 to 100. When I create a chalos ishus on part of a woman, a chalos hektos on part of an animal, that consumes the entire animal. There are certain chaloses that are divisible, and certain chaloses are indivisible. We're saying, okay, if it's indivisible, let it be 100. Once you create part, it's... I was actually thinking to myself a lot. I really didn't have time to think as much as I'd like to. So what are parallels in Shas? What types of chaloses in Shas? Once part of it gets defined that way, the whole thing gets defined that way. Because that's really what a spashtus is. There's a very, 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 very deep statement here about hektish. That once part of something becomes hektish, the entire item becomes hektish. Not, it happens in stages, 50 and then it diffuses. Creating a partial status of hektish engulfs. It's tfisa, the entire, to use a Sefer HaTanya's, it's tofes, the entire item. I was thinking about tumah. If you touch part of something, the whole thing becomes tameh. But the chora, that's not a din in the status of truma. That's a din in the maisa negia. When I touch a sheretz truma, even though I'm just touching part of truma, it's like I'm touching the whole thing. Negia b'mixus have a negia b'chol. It's not like I'm being metame part of it, but truma is this status that incorporates the entire item. It's a din in the maisa negia. When I touch the side of truma, it's like I'm touching the whole thing. saying, like, what does this tell us? What chalos is? This is the most abstract concept. Reb Chaim's concept just says we can turn a maisa b'mixas into a maisa b'chulei. Saying, no, it's a mirror b'mixas, but the whole item becomes hektish. Because hektish isn't defined, it's defined by designation. And once part of it becomes designated, there is no such thing as partial designation. Either you're hektish or you're not hektish. And we're saying, well, why not do that for Kiddushin? We'll see tomorrow why you can't. But what Avi is saying is, I go from 0 to 100, not by, listen carefully, this is a very subtle point, we'll try to cleave them. I go from 0 to 100, not by saying that I'm talking about 100 one way or another, Ilan. I go from 0 to, I'm talking about 50. But when I install a chalos hektish on 50, the whole animal, there's no such thing as a partial chalos equals a full chalos. When I create, again, I can't normally create a partial chalos. By kinyan, it stops. We'll see this tomorrow. Kinyan stops. Hektish is a different chalos from kinyan. It's not quantifiable. It's not cellularized. You can't define it to unique. It's either all or nothing. And by hektish, when I create 50, it's equivalent to creating 100. It's a din not in the maisa, but in the chalos. To summarize, is hispashtos, the simple way we would have thought before the Mikneh's question, before Yonah's question, the Mema, cascading status, you create a partial status and then it diffuses? Or is hispashtos an immediate expansion? If it's an immediate expansion, which it sounds that way, and that's why it can work for Kiddushin, that's why it doesn't work with the Avram when I buy Avram out. It immediately expands. What's expanding? The statement is expanding and then in the Maisa? Or the chalos, a partial chalos is considered a complete chalos. Your maisa was on half, you installed a partial chalos, but a partial chalos is equivalent, doesn't expand. Right now, it's an equivalent. If it doesn't expand now, it's never going to expand. Right now, it's a full chalos. Is it a din in the maisa, or is it a din in the chalos, or is it a din in the hispashtus from one stage to another? Let's take a little bit of time. I want you to, there's a lot more makaros. Let's see. Okay, it's 10:30 already. What's the nafka mina between what Avi said and what Reb Chaim said? Because this is where we are right now. We're going to talk a lot about this tomorrow, because tomorrow we're going to talk about the failure of hispashtus. Why does hispashtus fail by Kiddushin? So we're going to need to know, how did hispashtus work theoretically? Because today's shiur is very theoretical. No one really talks about how hispashtus works by Kiddushin, Yaakov, because in the end it doesn't work. But tomorrow we're going to see why it doesn't work in Kiddushin, because that's the Chereshani. So we're going to have to know, like, what are we trying to cancel? Reb Chaim, or trying to cancel Avi? Are we trying to say, well, a chalos kiddushin can be partial and doesn't immediately become 100 just because it's partial, or the maisa can't be expanded? We're going to have to really bear in on this tomorrow. But just today, let me ask you the following question. Okay, let me make the board a little bit easier for you to see, and then ask you the following question, and then we'll talk about a famous machlokas between Reb Chanan and Reb Elbel, and then we'll go back to the next marriage. So I'm making this a little bit easier for you to see. Is hispashtus harchavas mamad hektish? That'd be nice if you want to write a sefer one day. Harchavas mamad hektish. We're calling this 0 to 50 to 100. Or we're calling it diffusion. Or is hispashtus, what I'm looking for, just to give you a general title, chalos shalim miyad. Why would it be a chalos shalim miyad? Maisa al hakol, like you makdish the whole animal, or chalos shalim afilo de maisa de mixis. Just trying to use language, not modern Hebrew language. If you read Rav Lichtenstein's sefer called Dina de Garmi, Quintus Dina de Garmi, which is probably, in my opinion, one of his most impressive svarim, because maybe he wrote that sefer. Most of the shiurim were shiurim that Talmidim wrote over. So anyone can give shiurim on getting Kiddushin, but there's such a paved road. Obviously, Rav Lichtenstein walked down the road that everyone walked down, and then walked to the side and cleared some area here, cleared some area there, saw the road from 1,000 miles up. But the sugya of Dina de Garmi, it's like a slippery pig. You can't hold on to it. It's like all over the place. And the Gemara never defines what Garmi and Grama is. what's direct, what's indirect. He never gives quantifications. Like in physics, we give quantifications. How much force, how much velocity, how much directionality, how much causality. We could actually meter it. But Chazal obviously didn't have those meters, so they're all just random cases. And not only does the Gemara never explain what the boundary between Garmi and Grumma is, but it seems to give cross signals, cases that should look like Grumma or Garmi, cases that should look like Garmi or Grumma. It's like the most impossible sugi to learn, but it's at the heart of Nezek. The heart of Nezek is, what's the boundary between Nezek you're chayav for and Nezek you're fater for? Like, you can't get any more basic to learning Adam Amazik than Garmi and Grumma. And there's only one person in history before of listening that actually tackled this and said, you know, let me write a sefer on the two and try to create definitions. Who was that? Ramban. Then all of a sudden, 700 years later, Rav Lichtenstein did the same thing, which is incredible. It's just a 700-year gap between the Ramban and Rav Lichtenstein. It's just, when you just think about writing that sefer, just astounding to be able to collect all it. But that's where Rav Aaron thought. That's where I'm trying to teach you how to think, not by case, but just topics. Gather all the information, put them in order, and then as best as you can, process them. So in his introduction to that sefer, Rav Aaron shares a very, very interesting dilemma he had. Anyone here from Teaneck Daven or Rabbi Neuberger Shul?
I've been there before.
Right, so Rabbi, when I came back from Gush in 1985, Rabbi Neuberger was an older person in the Kollel, and his job was to edit articles that you submitted to the YU journal, the Torah journal called Beis Yitzchak. So if you wanted to submit a journal, you gave it to him, he looked at it, he gave you feedback, and you had to make corrections. So the first article, I was fresh off of my time in Gush, and I was writing status and Mekori and Ekroni and a priori. And he's a very delicate person. He's a very kind person. He said, maybe you want to use, instead of the word status, use the word ma'amad. And I found that a little bit jarring because I just come from 2 years in yeshiva. But the problem is that outside of the Hesder world, the broader Torah world doesn't use modern Hebrew when they're learning Gemara. What do they use? It's called, anyone know the phrase for it? Lashon Derabanan, Lishna Derabanan. Vihani, Vihine, Be'inan, sometimes I'll give you the Makaros. Sagi, Lo Sagi, Zakok, Lo Zakok. And if you write in modern Hebrew, very few people relatively will be able to read your Torah. On the other hand, modern Hebrew has many more words, as more modern languages have to create precision. And second of all, Rav Lichtenstein was speaking primarily to boys who were speaking modern Hebrew, so to all of a sudden use a different language. And so Rav Aaron agonizes over the decision. Should my shiurim be published in modern Hebrew or should my shiurim be published in classical Hebrew? And I don't want to say what he did, but it's a really interesting read. It's a very private and personal deliberation. And he just says, my primary responsibility is to my Talmidim, and I have to teach them, and for them, precision and language will be best accomplished by modern Hebrew rather than going to some other language that's much more vague and ambivalent. But the world lost out. Very few people can fully appreciate Rav Aaron's Torah, A, because the style is so different than anything they've seen. They're not used to learning what I've trained you how to learn. And B, the language is very prohibitive for them. They don't know what the words mean. Sometimes people say, can I have Rav Aaron's Torah? I said, look, I'll buy them for you, but I have to tell you, don't expect you to read through it like you do through a stipler Rav. It's not going to be that for you. It's going to be very, very different. So it's interesting when you see these language decisions. Anyway, how did we get to this? What were we talking about?
Language,
right? Precision, right? So this is, let's say, I'd be writing in Lishna Derabanan. This is very, very imprecise. Harchavas chaloshem. Here it's like it's awkward. Diffusion, gradual, expanding the maisa, creating fun. Okay, so I'm trying to give you both. I'm trying to give you the ability to speak in that language, then when you open a sefer that's not written in modern Hebrew, it'll make sense to you, and you can talk to people. Okay, so which of these two? Look at the two orange circles. Which of these two versions of Hispashtos are more exportable outside of Hekdesh? I'm asking a totally different question now. I don't have time to let you guys develop it gradually. I need you to see this more frontally. So I apologize for giving it to you. Okay, Joey, what's the home turf for Hispashtos? Which halacha allows Hispashtos? Hekdesh. Can I apply his pashtos, look at me, outside of the world of Hekdesh? You may know a Gemara like that, that tries to apply his pashtos outside of the world of Hekdesh. Which of these two options is more flexible? That a chalos hekdesh on part is a chalos on everything, or that verbal declarations on part are considered verbal declarations? Which sounds more global? Which sounds more parochial, that it would be limited only to hekdesh? Which sounds more global? An expansion of the Misa, verbal declarations on part are not contained and limited to part, they really relate to the whole item. Or a chalos hekdesh on part, because of the nature of hekdesh, is really a chalos on everything. Which sounds more parochial, which sounds more global? Didi?
Misa sounds more global.
Misa sounds more global. Because it talks about how halacha views verbal declarations. Verbal declaration on parts. If it's a question, a chalos a hekdesh can't be contained, why would that necessarily apply to other chaloses?
The verbal declaration region is back to
my Samira. Right. Okay, now here's a trick question. If you get this, you understand the sugya. Now you see why I'm making your life mishugana. Not just reading Rishonim with you, but putting you into their minds. Who discussed this question? Who discussed this question? Whether his postures can go global or it's limited to hektish?
Tosis.
That was Tosis' issue. How did Tosis ask the question? This is exactly like a Tosis you saw earlier in the year. It's the exact same structure. See if you can remember Tosis earlier. Well, Hispashtus has a pasuk. What's the pasuk that teaches us Hispashtus? Kol Hashitin L'Shem, pasuk in Temura. So how could the Gemara dare apply his pashtus outside of hektish without a pasuk? Where does the Gemara try to apply his pashtus outside of hektish without a pasuk? Here. How could the Gemara v'hava mina that kiddushin is a candidate for his pashtus and it fails on a technicality? There's no pasuk. So Tosis is assuming globalism or parochialism. How do you answer Tosis kasha? Maybe it's global. Who says that? Maybe it's global. The Torah says it once and we can export it globally. Who says it here? The Ritva. What does the Ritva say? Let's read the Ritva. We'll get back to Tosfos. Tosfos is going to be the mic drop of the shiur today. Obviously, you can't learn Kedushin without this Tosfos. The Ritva asks the Kashya in Tosfos, what gives you the right to even think about it? Davar she'en ha'nesham etzluya ba. Did I not give you this ritva? You gave me the other ritva, maybe? Okay, my apologies. Let's read the ritva. Davar she'en ha'nesham etzluya ba. Here's a whole chiddush in the sugya there. Let's read the end of the piece. If you have the ritva, the yellow ritva is after 581, or miyur, the end of the piece, davar. Belav hachinami lo kashya. I don't have to worry about Tosis kashya, even without my big chiddush in Temura that he makes a chiddush. The chiva de ashkichan hasam haidina de pashta kiddusha bechule. Once I see his pashas, Dibur maschal davar, you not have it? Or afila mandi amar. Afila mandi amar? Didi, what page is it?
Your dalad.
Your dalad?
In the river.
Okay. Afila mandi amar. Dibur maschal, the end of that piece. Me belav hachinami lo kashya, vidivarm ki pashtan. The chiva de ashkichan hasam haidina de pashta kiddusha bechule. Ein len alomar dasam belechudu venekel bazu. Adarabba, yesh len alomar dahasam avid krab, binyanav lechol makum. Once the Torah says it once by hektish, we make a binyan of. Is that derech haTalmud? Hashir sheikh sivet by inkiyacha. Why not expand and extrapolate? If the Torah says it's pashtus by hektish, why not say it by kiddushin? Without a pasuk. Who disagrees with the Ritva's premise? Tosfos. And Taz is going to be labor, is going to labor to show why it applies to Kiddushin even without a pasuk, which we'll see in a minute. Namely, Machlokas Tosis in the Ritva, does his Pashtus apply naturally to Kiddushin, or only because we have, wink, wink, a Pasuk in Kiddushin, or really have a Pasuk in Kiddushin, we have a like a Pasuk in Kiddushin. We'll see in a moment. Could this be the Machlokas between Tosis and the Ritva? The Ritva felt like Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim actually says this, Reb Velvel says this. Then once you're expanding verbal declarations, so it's a general statement. Whenever this whole question, we said Rachman doesn't apply by physical actions. When I pull the neck of your cow, I'm pulling the whole cow. The question is, what about when I create abstract statements? Normally you don't get to that stage because you have to pull, pick, lift, bid, right? That's what I'm speaking. How does the halacha view speech when they have halachic potency to them? When I speak about part of something, it's like I'm speaking about the whole item. Once I have that chiddush and hekdush, it can be easily exported to other areas. But if Avi Balsam's right, and it's not a chiddush about the Maisa Amir of hekdush, but a chiddush about the chalos of hekdush, it's something about the chalos of hekdush. There's no such thing as half. Half is whole. Okay, who says that other chaloses would follow that dynamic? So this question, if I move away from the diffusion, I move towards the left of the table, we'll see you tomorrow. How do you cancel this? How do you ruin it by Das Acheres? But right now we've created a model. Am I stretching the Maisa? Or am I creating, not stretching it, or am I creating a partial chalos as a full chalos immediately? Maybe the machlokas between Tosis and the Ritva. Who can prove the Ritva, even without this whole debate in Kiddushin? Where do we see somewhere in Chas that his Spashtos is applied not just to someone that says Regal Zu Ola? But it may or may not be a riot because now you're opening a can of worms. Okay, let me give you a different hint. What was the Mishnah really talking about when it quoted Rabbi Yossi? Like, why did I assign a Mishnah where I assigned rather than a Mishnah Maseches Vachim? What was the specific topic the Gemara was talking about? Temura. And the Mishnah wanted to know, you can't exchange unequal items. I can't say a fetus for a limb for a fetus, a full animal for a leg for a full animal. If you stand the chance of Temura, it has to be equal exchanges. If Yossi says, no, you're right, you can't have a fetus for a limb, but you can have a limb for a, what does Yossi say? A limb for? Full animal. How do I know that a limb works by Timura like a full animal? Because when I'm makdish something, a limb means a full animal. So what is Rabbi Yossi doing? He's creating an analogy between Hekdish and Timura. Isn't Rabbi Yossi expanding? Who gives you the right to say limbs are important by Timura? Where's your pasuk?
Come on, let's still living together
Hekdish. Okay, so Ephraim's saying the Chiddush is that Timura is really Hekdish. You want to learn Timura for a couple of weeks? Big question in Timura. Is Timura Maisa Hekdish or is Timura some other Maisa? But this, I think, is Revelvel. There's a lot of Revelvel. This is called the Chidushi HaGriz. This is not what Revelvel wrote. This is Shiurim that the Talmidim wrote over, I think posthumously. The only thing Revelvel wrote on Shas, on Halacha, was the Rambam, as well as Rosh Hashanah Yom and Sukkah. That's his handwriting. But this is incredible. There's three volumes to the Sefer. It's all, another word you should know, it's all, when you see it quoted in, I think someone came to me, when I was a young rabbi, said, I know who Revelvel was, I know who Reb Chaim was, but who is Revelvel Stenisil? Who is Revelvel Stenisil? Never heard of that guy, Revelvel Stenisil. It means Revelvel in the stencils. Stencils were before we had copying machines. This is how they reproduce. It's called, you see these old machines where you turn it. Never saw them? Look online. There's old stencil machines. You basically had to turn a lever for each copy. And you had this like disgusting purple ink that got all over you. You walked out of your luck. You went through World War I. You turn it. I was the copy boy in my high school. So they gave me a piece of paper. I went to the stencil. I made 1, 2, 3, 4. Each time you turn the wheel, another one came out. So this is Revelvel, since it was printed before those copy machines, it's called Revelvel stencil in some svarim. This is an incredible set of three svarim. Mirz Hashem, one day when you make your way through deep, deep kachim, temura, erchin, v'chara, svachim, v'nachos, this becomes like your go-to thing. In temura, in two locations, he talks about the sugya in temura, and he gets over to Kedusha. We'll see, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit today. Okay? Boy, I'm tired today. What are we talking about? Right, so we're talking about Revelvel's Raya. The fact that Rabbi Yossi is willing to extend this, not just from Hekdesh to Temura, may be a Raya, that you can extend it globally without a pasuk, like the Ritva says. If you hold Temura's like Hekdesh, as Ephraim is saying, it's not really an extension, but in our Sugya, you're extending it to Kedushin as a candidate until we reject the candidacy tomorrow. Tosfos disagrees with that. So let's stop here. What's happening outside? Why is it so loud outside? So let's deal with it. Okay, can't close the window. Whatever, can't close the window anyway, so we'll just deal with it. Okay? So, we're not finished. Let us stop where we are and about to get to the big finish of Tosfos. We just have to get to this. Okay? Nafkamina, Shar, Halachos, Beli Pasuk. Tosa says you need a pasuk, doesn't work. The Ritva says you don't need a pasuk, it works logically, Misvara. If it's then in the Maisa, it's more likely to work Misvara. If it's then in the Chalos, you'd need a pasuk. So Tosa is caught between a rock and a hard place. You need a pasuk, but you don't have a pasuk. So what's Tosa's solution? As it always is, or as it has been once before this year? How can you expand it from Hekdesh to Kiddushin without a pasuk? The answer is Kiddushin is Hekdesh. Where did we see this before? We saw this on Daf Beis, but where do we see the same trick? Where's your pasuk? Oh, you don't need a pasuk. It's just like Hekdesh. Which tasos? Daf Vav and Nedarim. Where's your pasuk for your dying by Kiddushin? Oh, you don't need a pasuk for your dying by Kiddushin, because Kiddushin is like Hekdesh. It's exact same tosis, structurally. With one difference. I do that for drama. No, wait for this tosis. With one difference. Does that sound ominous? With one difference. What's the difference between Tosfos and Nedarim and Tosfos and Kiddushin? Tosfos says Kiddushin is Hekdesh, and therefore you have Yadayim. Tosfos and Kiddushin says Kiddushin is Hekdesh, and you have Hispashtos if you different tracks of Kiddushin? No. No. Different tracks of Kiddushin based on which language of Kiddushin you use. We had those 10 languages that worked on Daf Hey, Vav. If you use a Lashon of Harayat Mikudeshes, oh, then your Kiddushin is like Hekdesh. And then you get all the benefits of Hekdesh. But if you use Harayat Mu'reses, ah, then your Kiddushin is totally different. And you won't have Hispashtos. Look at Tosfos. This is one of the most famous Tosfos in the first 10 blot of Kiddushin. We'll see this again tomorrow. Lefikach yesh lios dina kehekdesh, avalim hayomim mureses, ochad mihanu lishni dila'il, al zeh lo haya makshev enifshetu kiddushin b'chud leperish zeh. The only havamina to apply is pashtos is if you're using arat mikudeshesly. Then your kiddushin is like hekdesh. Let me say to you, help me now. Remember this board that I put up over here, the chalos? Remember our peace sign? Kinyan, Ishus, Isser. What's your access point? So which access point is most similar to Hekdesh? Ishus. So when do you access Kiddushin Therishas? When you say Arabic or Deshas. When do you access it through some other point? When you say other languages. What's the Nafkamina? When you access it through Hektesh, you in theory can use Hispashtus. Until we may. We'll see. Lam Sam Yishonim still say Hispashtus works by Kiddushin. Tosas on that base. In theory, what else would Tosas and Kiddushin say? That just like the Hektish benefit of Hispashtus only applies to Kiddushin, Balash, and Hektish, what other benefit that's Hektish endowed may only apply if you use Haram Mikudeshes? It does. Travel back in time to France. It may have been a pretty live machlokas between two Balei Atosis, where you can say Yadayim when you say Arat Meresisli. Meresis. Tosis says no. Wow. 1 second, let's just read Rabbi Chanan together. Okay, just because I copied a few. I spent a lot of time today before I answer your question. Anyone have an extra Rabbi Chanan sheet? An available sheet? Thank you. Benifshatu Kiddushin Mekule Os Mem Beis. Anyone really wants to tackle this sugya? This is really the heart and soul of Kiddushin. If you're looking for a sugya that doesn't tiptoe around the periphery, but gets right at the heart of Chalos Kiddushin, it's right here. I think Rabbi Chanan has 25 simanim on this. Like, part of me wants to just close the Gemara and just go through Rabbi Chanan Keseder. If you really want to like go through the hard obstacle course, start on Mem Beis, start on Mem Aleph, and read through like Nun Vav. Or, I mean, just 20 simanim. Each is more breathtaking than the next. Just go through each. Never really been through them Keseder rigorously. Go through each simon. V'nish tuk in Israel, yesh li'os dinah, v'mivur b'zeh, d'ach d'pashtu b'kula, ena d'afka b'hektish gavah, komine kiddusha. And then Mem Beis says, well, where else could it apply? According to Tosfos, anything that's like Hektish. What about by Nazir? What about by other cases? So Rabbi Chanan goes through all the other cases that may be cousins of Hektish. Mem Beis. Nun Gimel. V'yesh Lomar. This is going to sound familiar to you. D'bikidushin yesh kinyan v'isser. Isser is his word for Hektish. He's not making a peace sign. He's making half a pie. Isser is like the non-kinyan part. V'adi kidushin damer lehektish huraka isser, meaning the isha slash isher v'lo kinyan. El she'ef shalomar, she'mekadish osa kinyan. One approach is that you directly access through kinyan. V'isser hu betolada, and the isser and the ishas come from that. Olehapach, she'osa isser, you make the isha slash isser. Here's the two-part pie, not three-part pie. V'akinyan nimshach me isser. V'nafgimina lingin pashtu bekule. D'lo shayach rak be'a isser v'lo ba kinyan. If you start with the isser, then you can be mispashtu, but not with the kinyan. El d'meila, you're making the ishus, the kinyan then expands after the ishus. Then he goes to other parts. Another Talmud of Reb Chaim didn't really like this possibility that the chalos mechanics, the dynamics of the chalos, are dependent on what language you use, the access point. None other than Revelvel felt that the language you use in Tosas doesn't change the chalos dynamic, it changes the maisa. I'll let you read the Revelvel in the next part, because I don't want to add another layer right now. But Rav Chanan takes Tosas at face value. Now the type of chalos you're creating, the sequencing of the chalos depends on what language you use, which is amazing. Where does Tosas get it from? Who's he medayik it in? Where does Tosfos Medayik it in? That it depends which language you use. One second. Before, just let's finish this train of thought. Tosfos actually gets it from Rashi. Which Rashi? When the Gemara says "V'nifshet kedushin bekule," ki amar chetziach mekudeshesli, da mekudeshes b'lashin hektish kamalai. Tosfos actually thinks Rashi's saying it. See, Tosfos quotes Rashi and Daf Zion. This is an incredible, incredible shift. We basically would have to then learn Maseches Kiddushin all over again. Because there are two different models of Kiddushin. One is the model of Kiddushin that starts with, in our terminology, Ishus, and then everything else unfolds naturally. And one model of Kiddushin that starts with Kinyan, and then everything else unfolds naturally. And Tosfos believes that the decision which model you're implementing is based on which language you use. It's an amazing chiddush. There isn't one way to marry a woman. Halachically. What other halachas? Yadayim, we talked about Chalkos, Mechalkik, and if you marry, if you use a razor hektish. What other hektish inspired halachas would only apply if we use her at Mekudeshously? Even if we abstract more, forget hektish. On our own, let's forget hektish. Let's say hektish never existed. What differences would there be between a kedushin that starts with Ishus and a kedushin that starts with king? Forget hektish. Forget saying what hektish endowed halachas. There we have Yadayim and we have Hispashtas as a candidate, because it's not in Maskana, we don't say Hispashtas. What other halachas this year have we explained based on Ishus that if the start is Kenyan may be different? Yes or no, you're giving a shtar, then you for a Kenyan. Like, all of a sudden, we're creating two different worlds, two different simanim of Kiddushin. We have to think very carefully, oh, this doesn't work because the Ishus is problematic, but what if I start with a Kenyan? Maybe it should work. Right?
All this only makes sense a little bit of Abbe, right? That it's halos shame.
Right. The Revival takes it in a different way. The Revival takes it back to the mice.
It's much more simple than just saying, no, we're talking about mice a la kol, like Rafayim says, and therefore, it's only, it's pashtus can only be part of the mice if you use the love thing which uses the pashtus.
That's what he said, but there are other problems with that, which I didn't want to present. But read the Revival. Okay, we're going to stop now because we've got a lot more Makaros. Tomorrow's shiur is going to be a lot more grounded. But you really have to think about today's shiur, because today's shiur was Yisoda stick. Gemara's shiur is going to be, well, why doesn't it work by Kiddushin? Oh, the Gemara says, how does he read it? How does he read it? How does he read it? And each of those, how does he read it, is going to refer back, oh, by reading the disqualification of Das Acharis this way, he believes it was a din in the Maisa. By reading this disqualification this way, he believes it was a din like Avi in the Chalo. So he believes there's a... So every time you read a disqualification, don't be a lazy reader today. Anytime you read a disqualification, say, well, by understanding the disqualification that way, how do you understand the possibility? I say, oh, Reuben, you can't come today because you have a white kippah. I'm like, wait a second. Like, what? Oh, maybe Rav Taragim wanted him to clean out the roof, and that's why he's only inviting. But by saying, well, I'm not taking something, you understand what the criteria were that we're discussing to begin with. So the disqualification is going to be, oh, you can't come today because you're too small. Okay, I wanted to go on the roof and read something. You're too So by reading the disqualification, you get a keyhole into what the process was. So be very careful the way you read today. Here are the Makaros. Did I hand out the Makaros already or not? Okay, here's the Makaros. Okay. Here. I gotta make sure to give my interview sheets from yesterday. I can't give you out the, how they scored on the interviews, but gotta make sure I'm giving you just the sheets and only the sheets. Okay. There's a stipler that I want you to see inside, and something which makes a lot of sense. We'll see it in another Rishonim, but he says it very, very clearly, so you'll see it in the back of the stipler. Okay, here are the Makaros. Let's hope we get good results today, guys. Okay, good results today here. Very good. You're not used to getting a zero, right? Okay, Josh, take a Sifkani out. Let's go. Okay, guys, Hispashtus.